Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 70. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, and pedals, and music, I am conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the blog. Show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode's been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. Once again, this is a nice mobile podcast, and it's early March. Unseasonably warm for early March in central Indiana, and it's super duper foggy, so I'm going to have to drive a little slow and be extra careful not to... It seems like it's been treacherous the last two times now. My mobile podcast. We had some ice on the roads last time, and now we have this fog that can... I think I might be able to see about a football field ahead of me, maybe less, actually. So, this is pretty crazy. Pretty thick fog. But, anyway, you know, that's what I do for you folks, you know. That's how far I go. I risk life and limb for the Guitar Podcast. Well, maybe not really. It's not that dramatic. But it sounds good, right? Well, today I want to continue on with that five essential guitars and, you know, to kind of build that foundation of the collection for, say, if you want to be able to cover all the ground you can. Most of us, I think, are really pretty well focused on a certain style of music or a clump of styles of music and don't venture too far out, but and wouldn't venture too far out of these five anyway. But I wanted to... I'm unintentionally and now intentionally doing these in a specific order of preference, honestly. And I started out with Les Paul, which is probably my favorite style of electric guitar. A number one is my Les Paul, and then it goes on from there. But today I want to talk about the Fender Telecaster. And there's much debate about which came first, the Fender Telecaster or the Les Paul. And all records that I've been able to find, it seems to be the no-caster, broadcaster, Telecaster, what we know today as the Telecaster, is the first solid body plank style electric guitar made by Leo Fender in California, USA. And basically it's has two single coils. One, the bridge pickup is overwound, is not quite a P90, but definitely not as small as a neck pickup on a Telecaster or on a Stratocaster. So early on they were made of swamp ash. Still are today, of course. In 1952, the 52 reissue is a very popular Telecaster. And it, you know, really, for me, goes right back to that particular Telecaster and not the others. But anyway, I'll talk about that later. And, of course, later on, they were made of alder and all sorts of different things, different kinds of woods. But, you know, fundamentally, the body wood would be ash, swamp ash, and originally the neck was a maple fretboard, maple neck with a maple fretboard, and later on, 1960 on, they started making them with rosewood fretboards, and of course, rosewood fretboards will not have a skunk stripe, and a skunk stripe is where they've cut out the back to allow a place to put in the, allow room to put in the truss rod. So the only time you'll see that is if it is a solid piece of maple. The fretboard is the same maple that is the neck, instead of a veneer maple on top of the neck, which they later did. You see, once they do that, once you veneer that on there, it covers up any of the work done to put the truss rod in the neck. So it's not necessary to have a skunk stripe on a maple fretboard that has been layered on top, or a rosewood fretboard that's been layered on top. I have seen some where people have tried to fake it, and they put a skunk stripe on the back of a rosewood fretboard. That's a dead giveaway that you're trying to dupe somebody, you're trying to fake. And, you know, you might get some people, but you're not going to get me, and you're not going to get the guitar podcast audience now, because we know, right? Anyway, so I really like Telecasters. If it were to come down to a budget type of a thing, and I had to have only one electric guitar, and I couldn't afford to keep, say, a Les Paul or buy a Les Paul, that I would probably go with a Telecaster, simply because that bridge pickup is so hot, and the neck pickup is pretty good. I mean, and you can always switch it out for a neck pickup of a Stratocaster, or even put a Gibson humbucking neck pickup in there, kind of like Keith Richards and many others, or a mini humbucking pickup like Brent Mason does. And Brent Mason, of course, is a session guitarist in Nashville, probably my favorite, probably the guy I would most want to play like as far as a telly picking, chicken picking type of a guy. And then followed closely by Brad Paisley, of course. And but those two are probably my favorite living country guitar players, who are just way awesome. And anyway, that's it, very similar to a Stratocaster. You can really modify these guitars quite a bit. You can swap out a bridge. You can have the original bridge that has basically three bridge saddles, an E and a D and G, and a B and E bridge saddle. They're usually made of brass or of threaded steel. Originally they were made of brass, and then they were made of threaded steel in the 60s, and then they made it so that they would have each string would have its own bridge saddle, very similar to a Stratocaster, and which makes intonating the guitar, keeping the guitar in tune all over the neck, a lot easier. However, there are many of us who think that the tone of a brass saddle sounds better than the tone that you get from the steel saddles that are, you know, individually compensated. However, maybe we're being cork sniffers. I don't know, being a little too detailed on it, and maybe splitting some hairs. But that's just the way, you know, it is. And the problem is you're giving up the thing about the brass saddles is you're giving up that ability to keep everything perfectly in tune all over the neck to have the tone. And then if you have the individual saddles, you're giving up tone to have that tuning all over the neck. So there have been companies who are making the brass saddles that are compensated individually, several different kinds. And I do a video review of Glendale guitars, compensated saddles. I install them, and you'll see that video out right now where I install them and switch them all out. And then shortly you'll see, if not by the time this episode's out, episode 70, you'll see the demo of the Telecaster with the original threaded 60s style saddles, and then with the brass saddles, and then with the brass saddles plus an EA saddle that is made of aluminum. Talk about the fog outside. I got fog all over my windshield. I can't see a thing. So yeah, I've tried to set up this demo so that you can hear back-to-back different licks or riffs or whatever. And instead of hearing me play like for like 4 minutes on the 60s style saddles, and then going to the brass saddles for 4 minutes, and then have the EA switched out for another, what I wanted to do was play play a riff with the 60 saddles, then right after that, play with the... So there's a lot of editing involved to have it so that you hear, say, kind of a chicken picking riff with all three saddles back to back so that your ears can really hear them side by side. So I'm thinking this will be a really good representation of the difference in sound that you'll hear. We used a really good mic on this, so I encourage you to check it out. Go to the YouTube page and check it out. Also, if you subscribe to the YouTube page, be sure that you click where you get an email notification whenever I upload something new. For some reason, YouTube keeps on changing their programming, and if say I was subscribed to somebody's page, and then they change it, I mean, it was subscribed to it so that I was still getting their emails, they'll change things, and I mean, they're making improvements to the layout and look and feel and how it streams faster and better and all that good stuff, but we tend to lose that subscription, that email subscription, and I don't know why, but so, you know, if you haven't gotten an email from me like that recently and you subscribed, be sure and check that box after you subscribe. Hover over the subscribe button after you subscribe, and then you have a little couple check boxes there. And of course, if you subscribe to my email alerts, you'll get an email whenever I post a new video, as well as new episodes, such as episode 70. So now I can see. It's great. I can see while I'm driving, and I'm less concerned about wrecking and killing myself or others. And I left my sunglasses at home. That really stinks. That's the worst. I'm a big sunglass freak. So anyway, the Telecaster, you can change out the bridge plate to accommodate basically the original single coil pickup, or you can set it up so that you get a humbucker in the bridge, which basically you have something very similar to your Les Paul. But what you see most common is the original setup, or people will put a Stratocaster pickup in the middle position so that you can have like the three-way or a five-way switch. You can have that out of phase in the second and fourth position. But for me, I really like that middle section, that middle, just have a three-way switch on a Telecaster, and so that you have both the neck and bridge pickup on at the same time, and it's not really out of phase. It just has a special kind of a Telecaster tone to it. And of course, the middle pickup really comes close to that, especially on a Strat. But it just, there's something a little bit different about it. I can't necessarily explain it. You just have to hear it and let your ear tell you if you like that as opposed to the Strat or having the third pickup in the middle on a Telecaster. So there are all different kinds of configurations you can do with your Telecaster as far as pickups are concerned. You can have a stop-tail bridge. You can have the original bridge. You can put a Bigsby on it so you can have some vibrato. And I'm guessing if you did a lot of work, you could probably put a Floyd Rose on it. But really, I'm not... I wouldn't advise doing that, honestly. But anyway, the different types of music that can be played using a Telecaster is just about endless. They are great tone machines. You can play, of course, country tele picking, some jazz, blues, rock, punk. I mean, it's been played by everyone from Prince to Bruce Springsteen to... you know, country guitar players like Brad Paisley. I mean, they're all over Nashville. You know, Keith Urban played one. Who all? Albert Collins, Keith Richards, as I've said before. I mean, and their unique style, their unique look, and something really special about those classic shapes that really endure. I mean, you're talking, you know, 60 years of having the same guitar shape, and it just really, it sticks. People get used to it, and they like it. And so a Telecaster is really, really versatile, especially if you start changing pickups out with it and everything. Now, you've heard me talk about my Tele project and what I'd really want to do with it. You know, I'm thinking the original style bridge pickup, that single coil, that overwound single coil, would be just about perfect for me. I'm not sure if I want to go with a mini humbucker or just keep the original style neck pickup in it. You know, I'm not real sure, or going with the humbucker. I haven't decided on that. Any one of the three setups I'll be probably perfectly happy with. I know that I won't put a middle pickup in there, because I can get that out of my Strat or the Skyhawk, and be perfectly fine with that. I think that a Tele should be made of ash, and I'm not so sure that it matters so much about the fretboard. I almost lean a little bit more towards a rosewood fretboard for a little warmer tone, a little darker, as opposed to the brightness of a maple fretboard, simply because it's a bright sounding guitar to begin with. With the metal bridge, it gives it a whole lot of twang, and so if I can do anything to kind of tone that down just a little bit, maybe a rosewood fretboard would be the best. I always like the look of a maple fretboard on Fender guitars. I just really love it, especially after they've been used quite a bit, and you can see the little divots from playing over the years. But as far as tone's concerned, after having so many Strats that were maple fretboard Strats and not being really terribly happy with the tone, always loved the feel, but the tone was just, I don't know. The Skyhawk that I have has a rosewood fretboard, and I love the tone. So I think I'm turning into a rosewood fretboard Fender guy. But again, I'm not going to tell you what to do and what the best thing is. You know, it's just my opinion. And, you know, you've heard me say several times that you let your ear be your guide. If it sounds right to you, you know, go with that, for crying out loud. Just because Joe Schmo on doing a podcast says he likes the rosewood better now than the maple, well, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. That's just an opinion. Just like anybody you'd find on a forum saying this is the best, or that's the best, or I prefer. You know, you take all that with a grain of salt, right? So that's pretty much all I really want to say about the Telecaster. It's a great guitar for, you know, blues, country, rock, jazz. Not metal necessarily, unless you really, you know, unless you switch out that the bridge assembly so that it'll accept a humbucker and go with that. I mean, you could. It wouldn't be as thick as what you'd expect from you know, heavy metal. But I guess, you know, anything could happen, right? You do what you want. I want to talk a little bit about what I alluded to earlier about your ear. And I want to talk about developing your ear and training your ear so that you can totally trust your ear. I've talked about this in the earlier episodes just a little bit, but not quite to this extent. So I want to cover it here. If you love guitars, you probably listen to a lot of music, right? And you hopefully you're playing a lot of guitar. But what I really want to focus on is getting your ear trained so that you can totally trust it. And of course, we talked about protecting your ears. So anytime you play your guitar, be sure that it's completely in tune. Use your tuner. Be sure it's in tune, because then you're having your guitar perfectly tuned. Perfectly tunes your ear, okay? It's what you become used to hearing and everything. And I know on when I'm figuring out old 60s and 70s records, those songs, those guys were like tuned to whatever. I mean, they may be like a quarter step off or something like that. They just like, hey, you know, so-and-so sounds in tune, let's tune to him. And they all tuned to him and just go with it. And they didn't use a tuner. I was figuring out a Beatles tune last week, and they were in tune with each other, but they were totally not in tune with A440. But, you know, they are the Beatles, and their ears were great. You know, I'm not going to call them out on that, but what I want for you is to have, it'll help you have your ear trained really, really well right on A440. So that you hear a B flat on a record or on a song, and you'll go, you'll start to visualize that B flat. Now, whenever you're listening to whatever album or songs that you're listening to on the radio or on your iPod or whatever, I want you to start thinking about and visualizing what note that might be. And for me, it's much easier for me to do that on a song that I've never heard before, as opposed to a song that I've heard 100 times, because I already have this bias of what I might think that they're maybe doing without that focus. Okay? But say I hear a brand new Keith Urban song on the radio, and I'm listening to it, I'm like, wow, this sounds like this or that, or it sounds like he's bending a G to an A on the E string. And then hitting the A string open. And try to think about, when you're hearing these things, are they playing the string open or is it fretted? Sometimes the notes happen so fast that it's really, really difficult to get that. But there's a distinct difference in tone between a fretted note and an open note. Okay? So I want you to train your ear, be cognizant of that as well. Listen for that. But whenever you're listening to a new song especially, it may be easier for you. I don't know if it'll be easier for you as it is for me on a brand new song or something I'd never heard before, as opposed to a song that, you know, I'd heard a bunch of times. So I want you to check that out. Now, when we're talking about open strings as opposed to fretted notes, there's something a little muffled or a little, just slightly muted about a fretted note as opposed to an open note. And hence the reason why I think they have the zero fret, and that's a fret that comes right after the nut, and it's only about, I don't know, 3 millimeters onto the fretboard. I don't know how effective they really are, but I did see an early mentor of mine back in my early 20s who owned a guitar shop. He had it was a G&L S500, I think, or it was a Signature, Leo Signature, something like that, G&L, and he always noticed that, and he always wanted all of his notes to sound the same. He didn't want that open note to sound any different than the rest of them. And which, it didn't bother me, and he was definitely a cork sniffer. There are very few people, I think, who were as detailed about their tone as Don was. And what he did was, he took a really thin piece of felt, and he sliced it into varying thicknesses and widths, and slid it right there next to the bridge. Right there next to the nut, to give it that little bit of a muted tone, like a fretted note. And he compared over and over again until he found the perfect match there, and then he just set it in place. I don't remember if he glued it in there or not, but it was, you could totally see it. It wasn't like totally obvious, but if you're looking at his guitar, you'd see it. And I thought that was pretty neat. If you're wanting to avoid having that open note sound, just something to ponder. Oh, and by the way, yeah, my turn signal is really super loud. You would you know, it's like you wouldn't think that it's a 2000 model Pontiac. You think it's like a 78 or something like that, as loud as the thing is. So what I'm trying to do when I'm driving here is to stop talking whenever I have my turn signal on, so that I can edit that out and you don't hear it and think, well, if you're driving like you have your blinker on. Just know that sometimes I'm going to turn my turn signal on and it's probably not you keeping your blinker on. And more than likely, yours isn't as loud as mine. And it's not necessarily that the car is so old. As soon as I got it, it was loud. And I have no idea why. But I've just learned to deal with it. It is what it is. So anyway, I hope this helped you all out with talking about the Telecaster and different things. Got questions? Email me. And you have other questions or comments about, like, training your ear. I mean, this is really a simple thing you can do in a somewhat of a passive state. You know, a lot of times we'll listen to music and just be passively listening. But as guitar players, with this higher musical purpose, we can listen more analytical and try to visualize and think about what notes are being played. Does that sound like an open E? Does that sound like a four-finger G? Does that sound like he's bending on the B string or the G string? Or is he using a neck pickup or a bridge pickup or that out of phase or whatever? Really think about that stuff. And that will help train your ear. And then whenever you're watching somebody, after you've thought about that, say you listen to a lot of Stevie Ray Vaughan or whatever, and then you watch him live on DVD or whatever, Blu-ray, you can look and see what pickup he's using. I mean, you obviously can't see which foot pedals he has turned on, but you know, you can gain a lot from that. And then there's that knowledge base that you have for whenever you're playing, that if you're wanting to get a certain tone or whatever. So try to think about that. And of course, you know, if you hit an A on the G string, 14th fret, it's going to sound different than an A on the B string at the 10th fret, right? Just because the inherent tonal difference is the thickness of the strings. So try to be listening for that too. I mean, it's all about tone and pitch, and those are the biggest things about your ear that your ear will tell you, and I want your ears really trained really well so that you can totally trust your ears. And I'd really like to, you know, make the motto of the guitar podcast is trust your ear on anything. I mean, there's tons and tons of gear out there for us to spend our money on. And what it really comes down to is being able to trust our ears, and we got to trust our ears. And being able to trust our ears comes from having a lot of training and having them trained well that you can do that. So, that pretty much wraps it up for the Guitar Pod, this week's episode of the Guitar Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and this is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.